This is the Quality News Network. Still suffering from credit jitters, U.S. financial markets slid again today. We'll have the numbers later in our business segment. Toymaker Mattel announced recalls of 9 million toys over concerns about tiny magnets and lead paint. The toys, including Barbie, Polly Pocket, and many more, were all made in China. Just 2 weeks ago, the company recalled 1.5 million Fisher-Price baby toys because of concerns about lead paint. Parents should not allow children to play with any of the recalled toys. It was a day of bold attacks in Iraq. The Iraqi military says four suicide bombers hit a Kurdish community in northwestern Iraq, killing at least 175 people. A similar attack on a river bridge in Baghdad killed at least 10. Dozens of official vehicles stormed the oil ministry compound in Baghdad and kidnapped the deputy oil minister and three other officials. In the western part of the country, a Chinook helicopter went down during a test flight, killing five soldiers. The cause of that crash is under investigation. 16,000 U.S. and Iraqi troops launched a new offensive operation in the Diyala province called Lightning Hammer. In Baghdad, Iraq's president hosted a crisis meeting with 50 members of various political groups. President Talabani said the meeting was to pave a way for bringing the fractured government together, though analysts expressed concern it may be disintegrating altogether. Hezbollah warned Israel of a, quote, great surprise in the event of another war. The group's leader, Syed Hassan Nasrallah, made the statement on the first anniversary of the end of last year's war between the Lebanese guerrilla group and the Jewish state. Nasrallah did not reveal the surprise. Russian authorities say it was terrorism that derailed a high-speed train traveling between Moscow and St. Petersburg last night. A small homemade bomb did the damage. At least 60 people were hurt. Southern and midwestern U.S. states continue to swelter in record-setting temperatures. At least 8 people have died, and forecasters say the heat wave will continue throughout the week. In Utah, a ninth day of searching for a group of miners trapped after a collapse has yielded no sign of life. Rescuers refuse to give up hope. They have another 5 to 7 days until they tunnel to the buried men, but they're boring another surveillance hole to try and determine if they're still alive. You're listening to the Quality News Network, Science and Business, next.
Hi, I'm Anthony, owner of the Duplication Connection, and I'm here to ask you a question. Has one of your friends or relatives sent you a DVD from another country and you discover that it won't play in your machine? At the Duplication Connection, we can convert any country-coded DVD to play in the U.S. We can also convert your DVDs to play in any country on the planet. Call me at the Duplication Connection at area code 831-373-0493 or visit our website at www.duplicationconnection.com.
Don't dread the Fed. Sure, the Federal Reserve is raising interest rates. Seems like it happens every day around noon. But does that affect your home loan? Not necessarily. Talk to the pros at Gold Coast Financial. They can help you bid your dread of interest rates goodbye. Don't wait another minute. Start living in your dream home while sending your interest rate nightmares packing. Gold Coast Financial. 649-8757. 649-8757. Gold Coast Financial. 831-649-8757.
Hurricane Flossie is heading for the Hawaiian Islands, prompting a state of emergency in the closure of beaches, schools, and parks. 25-foot waves are expected to pound the Big Island's southeast shore tonight or early tomorrow. Tropical Storm Dean in the Atlantic Basin is expected to become the first storm of the Atlantic hurricane season. Forecasters say Dean should reach hurricane strength by the weekend, just as it nears Puerto Rico. Yahoo beat longtime leader Google and has taken the number one spot in customer satisfaction. According to a new survey by American Customer Satisfaction Index e-business report, Google had been the leader 5 years in a row. CBS Radio has reached a settlement with controversial radio talk show host Imus, Don Imus, who was suing the broadcasting company for breach of contract. The settlement will pay $20 million and avoids the $120 million suit threatened by Imus. U.S. markets fell again today. Experts warn of tough times ahead as credit concerns continue to surface. Adding to investor fears, Home Depot reported a 15% drop in profits, while Walmart cut its earnings outlook for the year. Light sweet crude is trading at $72.38 a barrel. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow was down 208 points at 13,028. The Nasdaq ended down 43, the S&P down 26. There's more at Quality News Network.
Just be confident, Gather around the radio, kids. It's time for Strictly Confidential. It's the homosexual agenda on steroids, putting the Dominionists and the loyal Bushies and the rest of America's underbelly on notice that the GLBT community is simply not going to take it anymore. So, just like gay kryptonite, here's Peter Godbold.
Good evening, America, and good morning, world. Welcome to Book, Chapter, and Verse 26 of Strictly Confidential. I'm Peter Godbold, and welcome to the GLBT version of Conversation Radio. Thank you for making Strictly Confidential a part of your day. The show site is strictlyconfidentialradio.com. There you're going to find the links to the guests who've been on our show, as well as the audio archives to any of the past shows. You'll find links to our chat room, which has the most amazing people in the country on board, and some are not even in this country. You'll find links to the Head On Radio Network main site, and there you can find out about all the other progressive programming on the Head On Radio Network, as well as music and, well, just all kind of fun stuff. There are pictures of San Diego's Gay Pride Parade, bunch of stuff. There's also a Strictly Confidential MySpace page, and you'll find the link to it there. It's I must tell you, the blondie-headed hoes are back again. I got propositioned by three blondie-headed hoes today. The blondie-headed hoes apparently had been on a hiatus for a while, and apparently they're back in the saddle again, and so you know how that goes. Now, you know, I was telling you before, you know, if straight folks signed up for MySpace, and within minutes of having signed up, they were barraged by, you know, a whole bunch of gay guys and lesbians trying to get them to be their friends and look at their pictures on their flights because MySpace won't host them. Man, would there be an uproar that would, you would hear it from coast to coast. Congress would be screaming. Bill O'Reilly would be screaming. Fox News would be screaming. But, you know, it's just the way it is. You know, blondie-headed hoes, good. No problem. Just, you know, my take on the world. Don't worry about it. It's not a thing. Just my take on the world. The toll-free lines are open this evening. Oh, by the way, there's no guests this evening. It's just us. So fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be a bumpy night. The toll-free line is 877, the number 4, head-on. That's 877, the number 4, head-on. And that translates to being 877-443-2366. If you have a unlimited long-distance calling plan, you can save the studio a nickel by dialing 304-658-3333. That rings in West Virginia. That's 304-658-3333 in West Virginia. Email arrives to Peter at headonradionetwork.com, and I try to keep up on the email when we cut to breaks. And I think that about concludes all of that. Where do I begin? You know, there's so many. Oh, we've had so many fun callers. We've had guests, and there's just a stack of stuff here that I haven't been able to get to, and I'm kind of a pack rat. I just refuse to throw this stuff out until I tell you about it. Some of it is like a couple of weeks old, but chances are you didn't see it, or you're, in fact, some of it's so old. Not only is there the original story, there's the update to the story. So there's lots of stuff to cover with you this evening, as well as we have a children's corner tonight. You recall the right wingers are always telling us that we're soliciting and recruiting their children. So I figured, hell, let's give them what they want. Oh yeah, hell, we're going to have a fairy tale this evening for children under 12. Hello, boys and girls, welcome to the homosexual agenda. Yeah, we're going to give them what they want. We're going to recruit your children tonight. We also have a track of interest, which is amazing, by the way. It's by a fellow named Mark Mercer. He's at markmercermusic.com, and we'll run that track later. We also have a dance track of the night we'll run later in the evening. That's interesting about this dance track. It's been run once as a bumper. Now, a bumper, if you don't know, is that maybe about 30 seconds to 1 minute of music that we run, but someone stopping their show and going into a break, or coming back from a break and then going back into the person who's doing the show, back into the host. We call that little segment of music a bumper. So last week we ran a bumper, and it was a clip from Area Fashion's track called Saving Myself. And it was a wonderful dance floor hit, just wonderful. And do you know, the next day I got, just running that bumper once, I got three emails from people asking that that track be played in full and that they hadn't heard it in years, and wow. And yes, I'll be glad to. We had to pull it as a bumper because we didn't want to the song for you. We were actually able to run it in full. We'll run it in full tonight. It's the Almighty Mix, and it's one hell of a dance track. I should tell you, too, that North Florida is in the middle of a storm alert. We had a severe weather alert here a little while ago. It may still be in effect. I don't know. It seems quiet outside, but there was hail and thunder and chances of flooding and blah, 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 blah. And so, you know, this DSL connection sometimes goes poof when the weather goes bad. So I should warn you, if I suddenly disappear this evening, I'll try to reestablish a stream to the studio. And if we can't, then we'll just get Agnes to do show. And that would be fun. And by the way, if you guys don't call me this evening, I might do show tunes. I have my ways, and I know you don't want me sitting up here singing Annie. No. That'll make the phone. I'll get the phones ringing really quickly. And we do have a call on the line, but before I take, it's just very brief. I want to get this out of the way because it's a correction. If you recall, on last night's show or the night before, I was going on about this guy named Tyler Whitney, the 18-year-old who was Tancredo's webmaster and general, heterosexual up and coming young Republican who was outed, and of course he immediately went and cleaned up his MySpace page and represented, took away the gay bashing lines and is trying to present himself as, you know, a nice vanilla, you know, sort of good boy. Anyway, what we reported was that he had gone to work for a guy named Dale Wiggle in Flint for the campaign for mayor of Flint, he's an openly gay candidate. Wiggle is denying that. He said this apparently came out early in the week, that information was sent out by a volunteer staffer, not a paid employee, who was confused about it, that apparently this Tyler Whitney, the 18-year-old, volunteered there a couple of times but was never actually an employee. It's hard to know what Tyler is doing these days. Tyler, the little young Republican, says he supports Dale's efforts to become Flint's next mayor because he agrees with his financial conservatism. This guy's running as an independent, by the way. But he said he only had a limited role, and Wiggle confirms that. So who knows how that got started. I made some cracks about Dale Wiggle, too, because anybody running as an independent and anybody that a little young Republican would say with his politics, there's got to be something suspect about it. But I will point out to you that the Pride organization in that area has endorsed Wiggle's in the primary. That is called the Triangle Pride Pack, the Public Action Committee. So there must be more to it than I know, but it all seems highly suspect to me, but nonetheless, we don't know what Tyler is doing these days except denying that he's gay, and we don't know exactly what Wiggle stands for except that Triangle Pride approves of him. So there you have that, the correction. We always try to keep things as gaily as possible. And I would like to welcome Jim to the phone. And Jim, calling from that place of the East Coast, welcome to Strictly Confidential. Okay, maybe we've lost Jim. I don't see him on the line. I hope I'm still streaming. And I hope you can hear me.
Hello?
But here's an interesting thing. Let me check this real quick. Okay. I'm not sure if you can hear me or not. I hope the production chat will come through here in a second and let me know what's going on. But in any case, we have a remark here by Matt Foreman. And Matt Foreman is the executive director of the National GLBT Task Force. And he has a very interesting comment. This is short, but I think it's very to the point. He's saying that they are seeing no evidence, and quite frankly, I'm not either, that that any Democratic frontrunners in this upcoming election ever counter it when a Republican does the anti-LGBT bit in one of their speeches. Of course, Republicans routinely, it's an everyday affair. Somebody in the gay community gets bashed. Somebody's introducing an anti-marriage thing. Goes on and on and on. But also, you can count on it every day, but also what you can count on every day is the Democrats never, ever issue any sort of response on it unless they are responding to a direct question from someone about the LGBT community. And even when there is a direct question, they always answer the question very, very carefully. And they use words that are, you know, directly from the legislative floor. It's a crafted answer. And so anyway, that was an interesting observation. And so the Republicans are actively hate us, and the Democrats actively ignore it. And, it reminds me of having our guest last night. And by the way, I'm working on getting some more of GLBT candidates from across the country. I've made some calls today to Tennessee. I made some calls to Maryland and made some more calls to South Florida and have spoken with a couple of people who are interested in being on this program. We haven't been able to set a date yet. They're in the middle of campaigning, this, that, and the other. So I think it is so that we have GLBT folks in legislatures. I don't care if you're a dog catcher, I don't care if you're running for president, I don't care what you're running for, we need you there, because it is very, very obvious that the Democrats won't stand up for us. They'll let they'll let the Republicans bash us to their heart's content. They're not going to say a word unless unless it's somebody like Barney Frank, who expressly gets no media coverage unless there's something huge going on. But I'm actively looking for you LGBT folks running for anything, especially you who are running for the first time. Now, I'm actually those of you who are looking for re-election in the upcoming who are trying to be re-elected in the upcoming elections too. But I especially want to talk to you people who are not elected and running for the first time, because we're all very proud of both sets of you. And I'm actively pursuing them. I am hot on their heels. And we will have them as guests on this program, I assure you. And we have caller Jim back. Jim, welcome to Strictly Confidential.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm so glad you're on the line. The last time I went to the line and it was quiet. And it's always a cause of concern for me, because I don't know if I've lost the caller or if the studio has lost. Just never know which way it went.
I really think you're beginning to influence the weather in that part of Florida. I really do.
Do you think there are trees falling? There's hail. It's entirely possible, Jim. I mean, it's entirely possible.
You know, I'll tell you something. I have found someone else besides Tallulah, and I want to make one final thing about Tallulah, if I may, before I leave tonight. Okay? Are you there?
Yes. I'm back. I'm here. I was just having trouble. The studio is going to increase the volume a little bit. You're going to tell me something a little bit more about Tallulah, and I'm looking forward to this. Tallulah, yes, by all means. Yes, I can hear you.
Have you ever read any of Florence King's work?
No, I'm afraid not, Jim. You, we really need you as the literary critic for the network, but I have it.
She's written several books. One is Confessions of a Failed Southern Woman, and the other is Southern Ladies and Gentlemen. And one of her most memorable lines, she lives in Fredericksburg, Virginia, and I actually talked to her on the phone, and was this. She says, "I may have slept with people of both sexes, but I've never smoked in the street."
Oh, that is, you know, and in the South, that's important, Jim. That is very important. People up north might not get that humor.
And tonight, I'm flipping between the bridge disaster and Place in the Sun with Montgomery Cliff. And I'll get back to that in just a second. But here's something that I want to share with you about Tallulah, okay?
Yes.
As outrageous as she was, and, you know, she really defined the word camp. She really did. But this was something, a moving piece written about her. Her piercing efforts were directed only at persons big enough to withstand them. Without any injury. She had no patience with cruelty, pretense, or hypocrisy. public life. They were not ladylike mannerisms learned at her finishing school. So whoever is composing her eulogy should avoid any reference to Toulouse the Lady. That could evoke a raucously contemptuous snort from the wing. It is as Toulouse, the gentlewoman, that we should take the, she should take her last bow.
You know, Jim, it's about the if you try to find her movies, about the only thing you can find that's been is like Lifeboat. Have you ever seen any of her other movies on the video cassette or on DVD?
I can't. Like Die Die My Darling.
Is that okay? That's one that I haven't seen that I should. I definitely need to put in.
Now they tried to get her to do Whatever Happened to Baby Jane. And apparently she and Joan Crawford were pretty good friends, and she had something else going on. And I don't think she really wanted to cross thorns with Bette Davis. Because when
Bette Davis, yeah. She would have been a formidable terror, no doubt.
Well, let me tell you, in that movie, now, Davis hit Crawford so hard that she had to have 3 stitches in her scalp. And in return, Crawford went to their dresser and got a weight belt that weighed 30 pounds made out of lead. So when Betty had to pick her she pulled her back and was out for 6 weeks.
That's priceless. That is wonderful inside there. Did you read this in one of the... there must be some sort of inside scoop sort of thing going on in that. That's so priceless to think that they're really doing battle behind the scenes. That's
perfect. Those two were at loggerheads all the time. And, you know, if I flip back to Place in the Sun with Montgomery Clift and Liz Taylor, I'm thinking about that. Have you heard the famous thing Toulouse said about Montgomery Clift?
I'm not sure, Jim. Tell us.
Well, this is a little off color.
Oh, that's all right. Nobody's listening. It's strictly confidential.
Well, someone asked her when they were at some kind of party where Montgomery Clift was in New York, and they said, "Is that Montgomery Clift who sucks cock?" And Toulouse replied, "Darling, I wouldn't know. He's never sucked my cock."
Oh, Jesus. And I was so trying not to go back to the toilets. No more. Oh, Lord.
Well, I mean, what a wonderful way of saying that's none of your damn business what he does.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
yeah, that she...
That person
out
into the middle of the floor. And, you know, anybody who can come up with one-liners like that, hey, they deserve a headline. I don't care what anybody says. And I'm sorry if I offended anybody with that, but that's a direct quote, and that's one of her more memorable retorts to questions that were designed to hurt people whom she dearly loved.
Ah. Yes, it takes a lot of skill to actually do that. There's quite a lot of wit involved. You know, one of my favorite lines in recent movies, anyway, is from the movie that Stephen King, he wrote a book, and I read the book, and then I saw the movie Dolores Claiborne. Remember the line that sometimes being a bitch is the only thing a woman has left to hold on to?
I do.
Remember that?
I do. And one more thing about Toulouse, and I know you've got things to do, loads to lift, no time to drift. I will never forget her letter to Jackie Kennedy after John Kennedy was shot. And she said, "There are only two things in my life that have really upset me. The day when I found out that Jack was shot, and the other day was when I discovered there was, when I was a child, I discovered there was no Santa Claus."
Oh, my stars.
Someone like that deserves to be remembered forever. And that's the reason I guess I'm on my one-man crusade to keep Tallulah in the forefront if I possibly can.
Oh.
But anyway, Peter, I'm sorry all these guys are hitting on you, but I was hit with on one line. If they hit you with this is when you've got time to worry. Someone actually came up to me one night and said, "My face leaves in 5 minutes. Be on it."
Jesus. Okay. This was in a public place, no doubt.
A public house, as they would say in the UK.
Yes, a public house. Okay.
But I couldn't let you smile with that one. And thank you for the hyperlink. And on that note, I better let you go before the daughter in Blitzen really starts to pop it.
Yes, I'm feared my lights could go off at any minute. Thank you for calling, Joe. Have a good evening. that one, Jim, and on a crusade to bring back. I mean, let's raise her from the dead. I mean, hell, you know, if anybody's going to come back, it's probably more likely that Tallulah will than anybody else, at least in the near future. And if Tallulah came back, I mean, honest to God, that would cause Armageddon. So maybe that's what the fundies ought to be doing. They ought to be praying that Tallulah. Boy, if Tallulah came back, ooh, she would be telling the Republican, you imagine. Oh, it'd be outrageous. I want to tell you about the way the news, by slipping in words. This is St. Louis Dispatch. St. Louis. And just an example of, and we've talked about this issue before, about the fact that GLBT couples are not able to green card their partners into this country. Obviously, they can't do it because they cannot get married, and even in the case of civil unions, it is a very difficult thing to do, especially with all this Homeland Security and Halliburton stuff all involved. It's one of the benefits. And I've personally met a couple. Apparently, the largest number of people this affects are over in California, or in that side of the country, and it involves people from Mexico and who meet and develop relationships with people from the United States. That's the largest number. Also, when you head up into the Seattle and Portland, Oregon area, a large number of people are affected who are from across the border in Canada. This particular story is from St. Louis, and this fellow is the head of the public defender's office in St. Louis, and his partner is from Peru. And they've been together since 2003, so that makes it, what, about 4 years. And his friend was in the United States to study. Let's see, he was looking for the name of the school. Not seeing it here in front of me. But here we go. He was in the United States for postgraduate education. The school is not mentioned. And so anyway, it's a story. We talked about this general concept with some of our guests about how that affects GLBT folks' lives. But the way the St. Louis Dispatch phrases this is really despicable. The article is filled with words like admitted and recruited and guilty. Here, let me give you an example. The former head of the St. Louis Public Defender's Office pleaded guilty Monday and admitted arranging a sham marriage. Love those words. It really paints a picture for you. Between one of his female employees, as if he required her to do it, and his Peruvian boyfriend to keep the boyfriend in the country. Well, I got news for you, St. Louis time. He was his boyfriend because they were not allowed to get married. This one that you're putting all this in one sentence, too. So it's wonderful when you have the word guilty, admitted, sham, and one of his female employees to keep boyfriend. If you can put all that in one sentence, that's, and especially if it's the first sentence and the first sentence is the first paragraph. So you've really met your quota there. You've put in all the negative words you can possibly cram into that first paragraph, and to paint this picture. Now, as it turns out, this female employee, they were dear friends. The employee was dear friends with both, who was the public defender, the head of the public defender's office, and Pedro, his partner. And so what happened was, the woman's name is Colette. What they did in early 2004, she married Pedro. They went to... let's see, where was it? Small town. In any case, they agreed to get married. What happened was Eric and Pedro, that's the gay couple, and Colette's boyfriend all got together, and they went on a trip. They all went on a trip together. It was all just perfectly out in the open, nothing clandestine. And I believe they went to California, and Pedro and Colette got married, in California, so that Pedro could then claim that he was married to an American citizen and he could file the immigration paperwork. And indeed, about a month later, they did file the paperwork to change Pedro's immigration status. And in the paperwork, of course, it says they're married and that they were living together. But as the paper points out so accurately, they were actually living with their boyfriends. Mind you, that Pedro and Eric did not have the option of marrying. So there was a plea agreement, and Pedro, by the way, went back to Peru because his lover Eric will not say whether he's in contact with them, just simply won't comment on it. Now Eric is also saying, I just wanted to be able to spend the rest of my life with the person I fell in love with, and I wanted to spend the rest of my life with him in this country. He said, it was illegal, and as a lawyer, I should have made a decision to uphold the law. You know, I don't think he should have even gone that far. If the world were perfect, he could have just stood up and said, you know, the law sucks, and you know, I'm proud of it. But being a lawyer, he probably understood that he had to phrase it that way. He's probably very likely to get off her and be able to join his partner in Peru should he decide to go down there. Eric is speaking out about all of this to highlight something called the Uniting American Families Act that's currently going on in the U.S. Congress. And it would give same-sex couples the right to sponsor their partners just as heterosexuals have. He's amazed. Eric is saying he's just amazed. He had no idea how big of an issue this was or how much uproar it would cause. Eric is no longer working for the public defender's office. He was fired, and the person has made it clear that she was not forced to do this as an employer-employee relationship, that they were all dear friends, and so there you have it. That's what folks have to go through to work around in this country, and it's not just Eric, and it's not just Pedro. It's happening to people left and right. At this point in time, it's estimated that there are 36,000 same-sex, what's being called binational, couples in the United States. At least they were recorded in the 2000 census. But researchers are saying that the figure's slightly undercounted, and there's actually 50% more than what they're estimating. Because, you see, the government refuses to ask these questions. They don't want to seem like they're interested, you know, being very coy about it. So we have to intuit and calculate these numbers from the available numbers in the statistics that are gathered in the census. And here's the statement from the UCLA's Williams Institute that about a third of these couples live in California, and Mexico is the home country of the largest number, followed by Canada. And there's several stories here. Here's the one, "Aw, you poor baby" award. You'll soon find out why. The guy named Aaron, and he's 67 years old. Bless his heart, he's a retired auto executive. And his wife of 32 years passed away. And after she had passed away, it was about 8 years that he actually came out. And he met a man named Milan. Now, Milan was from Barcelona. And Milan was studying at Cal State, and Milan was in the United States on a student visa. And so Ashcroft, that's this guy's name, Aaron Ash, confuse it with John Ashcroft, but I'm going to just use his last name. Ashcroft was, it says here, absolutely livid when he learned that he could not sponsor his partner for a green card. And Milan refused to stay in the United States and returned to Barcelona without Ashcroft. And Ashcroft was heartbroken and miserable, and Ashcroft decided to sell his homes, plural, leave his friends and his family and his charitable church and civic activities and join him. He also had some very successful businesses that employed a bunch of people. In other words, this is a very wealthy man. And why am I beating up on wealthy people going, "Oh, you poor baby"? Well, here's why. He says, "This experience has embittered me." He is a lifelong Republican. Aw, diddums, get what you ask for. The poor rich Republican. He couldn't keep his lover in the country. I mean, you know, it is heartbreaking. And the whole thing is tragic, really. But, you know, when you realize these lifelong Republicans are getting burned with this, They vote Republican regardless of how it affects us as a whole. It's never going to affect them. They're so freaking ignorant. He said he would never vote for his party's candidates again because he says the leadership has failed to support and immigration rights. Well, duh. And he says that he's soured on American idealism. And he says that patriotic songs turn his stomach. Yeah, well, duh. Join the club. He says, when I hear words about liberty and justice for all, I think it's a complete fraud. Boy, he's a bitter Republican, isn't he? Boy, I tell you, you let a Republican get rubbed wrong the one time, and they go all liberal on your ass. Excuse my phrasing. Oh, boy, I tell you what. So anyway, he says that we've been singled out, and we don't get the same rights as anyone else. Boy, you didn't believe that till you got affected by it, did you, you brain creep? There's a number of other couples who are affected by no point in going into all the details on them, but I will say that Bill O'Reilly is having a field day with it. Yes, sir, he is having a field day. He's screaming about this is a homeland security issue. That's exactly what it is. That's what he's saying. And he's saying anybody could just walk up and say, hey, I'm gay, and you got to let my friend Lenny in over there. And Lenny's a terrorist, you know, but you don't know that because we're saying we're gay. And he says, this is social engineering. And he says, and what about people who says, I know people who love three women. You've got to let them bring the three women in? And, you know, all these straw men arguments that they put up, you know how they do it all. It's says, not only do you have to let the people who are married in, you got to let their gay partners in now. What's going on in this country? How bad is it going to get? Bill O'Reilly says. And he's giving a scenario here. Well, he says, I'll give you $50,000 if you can get me in. This is like a terrorist scenario. If you can get me in and you just say I'm your gay lover and blah, 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 blah. And I mean, this isn't a homosexual situation, he says. This is a homeland security situation. He said, how bad is it going to get in America? How bad is it going to get? How could it get any worse than it is now? How bad is it going to get? It's way more than a bunch of Mexicans holed up in a motel room picking agricultural products. This is social engineering, Bill O'Reilly screams, regarding allowing GLBT individuals to sponsor their partners into this country. He says the crazier it gets, these secular progressives, he's saying the crazier it gets, the crazier the secular progressives want to go. He says they just want to let all the gays come in. Just bring in all the gays. Oh, I'll tell you what. Fox News. And by the way, that bridge disaster, I was looking at the images of that off the Yahoo home image slideshow. It was Fox News that was carrying that. You know, every time I see that logo, I'm reminded. I mean, it's like, God, this country. It's amazingly tough to make it from day to day through here. And anyway, Bill O'Reilly goes on and on and on. And there's, you can just imagine. And in the, remind me again why I gave away my TV department. You know, I gave away my color TV. I've got no use for a TV. Can't take it. You have a little black and white TV that I haul out for hurricanes. Desperate Wives is preparing to introduce a gay couple to the show. Oh, that really that makes my day. How about you? The character is going to play against a character named Susan and Wisteria Lane. He'll live in next door to Susan, but they won't get along. And they're going to move. The couple's going to move in the old Apple White House. And one of the men's going to have a hateful relationship with Susan, but Susan's going to try to be politically correct and show how open-minded she is. And you remind me again why I gave away my TV. You know, give me a break. Well, yeah, that's the gay community, doesn't it? Moving in next door to Susan on Desperate Housewives. Bet they never kiss. Bet you never see them in bed. Nope, it'll just be little outtakes. And speaking of outtakes, Singapore has banned an exhibition of gays and lesbian kissing. The exhibition was called Kissing, and is called. And what it was just a selection of 80 photographs. They were posed shots of same-sex couples kissing. They were fully clothed. And as part of a two-week gay pride forum there in Singapore. But there they said, no, you will not do it. This is stereotypical, and it's going to attract deviants. And Singapore is saying it's important that we do not do this, and says it's going to be an act of gross indecency, and we'll send you to jail for 2 years, and homosexuality should not be advocated. You know, this world is such a bizarre stew of these radical points of view. You know, you've got Massachusetts versus what's going on in Singapore versus the Republicans. Suddenly, oh my God, I can't sponsor my partner into the country. Never ceases to me. Tell you what, we're not going to do the we have a coming up on the 9:45 break. Let's not do the break to the 9:45 break. What we're going to do is a children's story time. And as I told you earlier, in the right wing condemns us for recruiting their children anyway, so let's just go for it. You know, why not? You know, I already offered the kids under 12 years old. The other night I told them, you know, Mommy and Daddy, they won't get you a PlayStation. Well, the gay community will. You just sign right here on the dotted line. We want you. We want you. We want you as a new recruit. And so tonight, so we're going even lower in the age groups now. We're, you know, the hell with the 12 years old. We got 12 year olds. We got those. We got them with a PlayStation. We're going to go for the 5 and 6 year olds now. We're going to do fairy tales now. We're going to, you know, we want your children. You know, I got to tell you. As far as I'm concerned, children are good sliced thin with mayonnaise on toast. you know, I know you guys love your kids, and I love your kids too, as long as they're not my kids. I just can't handle children. No, oh, my stars. But anyway, this is a very interesting fairy tale, and it was actually recorded in 1972. And the man who does this recording is not a gay man. But it was one of the pioneering albums, and he died in 2001. His name's Sandy Baron, and he did pass away. But this is one of his more famous tracks, and it's from tonight's Children's Corner, and it's called A Fairy Tale, The Queen Came Out of the Closet.
The Queen That Came Out of the Closet. A Fairy Tale. Once upon a time, not so very long ago, there was a powerful kingdom known as the Land of Normal. The people who lived there were called Normal People. They were ruled by a king who was very rigid, and very strong, and very straight. His name was King Constant. On official days, King Constant would appear on the balcony of his palace. The trumpets would blare and the drums would roll, and the heralds of the king would call the people together.
Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye, the words of Constant your king.
And the king would proclaim,
whoever does not obey the rules of the Land of Normal shall be banished, and shall not be allowed to return until such time as they can prove they're once again one of us, the Normal People.
Strangely enough, the king had a son whose name was Little Prince Different. Little Prince Different was not like the other little boys in the land. While they were learning to fight with swords and bows and arrows, Little Prince Different was happy sitting alone in his room, playing with his harp, or walking through the gardens, looking at the statues of Greek gods.
Hi, Apollo. Hi, Mercury. Hi, Zeus.
Now everyone in the palace, except the king, knew the little prince was different. In the kitchens, the cooks would chatter.
The king wants fruitcake for supper tonight. Let's just serve him his son in a silver platter.
And in the royal chambers, the chambermaids would twitter,
alas and alack, more work for us. The king's announced we're to have a great ball tonight where Prince Different will choose his bride. And we're to prepare the bridal chamber. Why, Prince Different shall never use it.
Poor Prince Different. He was so sad he did not know what to do. He thought to himself,
I shall not go to that ball. I do not want a lovely princess, but my father will never understand. I must run away and hide.
And with that, Prince Different ran from his room, down the great marble hall, through the royal dining room, up the regal winding staircase, into the royal chamber, and straight through to the closet of majestic linens. He slammed the closet door behind him and hid in the darkest corner.
My father will never find me here, and I shall never, never, never come out,
said the prince. But then, who should appear wearing a radiant gown and a crown of stars and slippers that twinkled and sparkled in the darkness of the closet, but the good fairy. The good fairy said,
"Who are you hiding from, Prince Different?"
"I'm hiding from my father."
"No, my little prince. Do you not see you are hiding from yourself?"
"Please, good fairy, wave your magic wand and make everything as I would like it to be."
"I cannot wave my magic wand and change your life. Such things only happen in the old fairy tales. There is a new kind of fairy tale being written, Prince Different, where you possess the magic. It lies within you. They call the magic pride. All you have to do is open the closet door. Ciao."
And the good fairy disappeared. Prince Different opened the door ever so slowly. Timidly he stepped out, and as he did, he saw himself in the mirror, and he liked what he saw. A wonderful thing had happened.
"Oh, I'm standing taller than I've ever stood. My eyes look brighter than they ever looked. Even the air smells so much fresher. And the birds, their songs are so happy and gay. Oh, the whole world feels truly different."
The prince boldly now ran through the royal chamber, down the regal winding staircase, through the royal dining room, down the great marble hall, and straight into the great ballroom. The music stopped. The prince walked proudly to the throne and announced to his father, King Constant,
"Father, I mean to show you no disrespect, but I cannot be what you want me to be. I am and shall always be Prince Different."
Murmurs swept through the crowd. Would the prince feel the sting of the king's wrath? But the king put his hand on the shoulder of Prince Different and said,
"I am truly proud of you, my son. You have shown great courage tonight. You are worthy to wear the crown. Now I know when I am gone, my people shall be ruled by a brave and benevolent king. Or queen."
And the trumpets blared, and the glasses were raised, and the people declared,
"God save the queen! God save the queen! God save the queen!"
Fairy tale. And that came from 1972, and back then, of course, everything was on vinyl. And to see the album cover is an amazing thing. It is entirely, it's almost Disney in its appeal. There's like the little blue birds, and there's the prince, and he's dressed in the standard storybook, and you know, the big oak tree in the background with the hanging limbs, and the little Bambi things running around, and you know, it made me think, you know, if this was released today on a CD, if it was promoted, can you imagine the right wing? They would be, it would be hysterical. It's them homosexuals recruiting our children. They're even packaging it for children to attract the eyes of our young innocents, and they have a story, a fairy tale on there, and it's all about a guy in a closet and a fairy godmother, and oh my God, can you just imagine what the American Family Association would have? The world has become so mean-spirited. I can't begin to tell you how things have changed for the worst since Ronald Reagan. It's gone pretty much downhill since then, and it's going downhill a lot faster. days. Hell, even the bridges are collapsing. But that was Sandy Baron, and although not gay, he recorded that in 1972. He passed away in 2001, and I do not know why, but it's one of his very early albums. And speaking of probation, let me tell you this first. The telephone number here is 877, the number 4, head on. That's 877, the number 4, head on, or you can use 877-443-2366. I'd love to hear from you. I'm some new folks out there. We see you. I see you in my email, but we haven't spoken to you. You're welcome to phone the program. If you have a toll-free long-distance calling plan, you're welcome to phone and use that. It'll save the studio a nickel. It's area code 304-658-3333, and that rings in West Virginia. Email arrives to Peter at headonradionetwork.com. That's Peter at headonradionetwork.com. And speaking of probation, which you weren't, did you know that one of the conditions of probation, it makes me think of Scooter and his probation. You know, that's not what this story is about, but it made me think of that nonetheless. One of the conditions of probation is that you cannot associate or be in contact with or communicate with anyone who has a criminal record or is also on probation or being supervised by the justice system or in any way part of the criminal element. Which pretty much means, I guess, of course it won't be enforced in Libby's case, but that would pretty much mean that Libby would have to give up the entire Republican Party. But fortunately, this story is not about Scooter. This story is about Daniel and his partner, Stephen, who had been together 20 years. Now, the ACLU represented this company, this couple, rather, and to allow them to resume contact with each other while completing their period of supervised probation. There was a drug sentence. They were sentenced with a drug charge. They hadn't been able to talk to each other for more than a year. They had both gone to jail / prison, not sure for how long, and then when they were released, there was a period of supervised probation, I think 5 years. Well, so anyway, they were both released from prison, and they were not able to speak with each other for a year, and so the ACLU represented, because you see, if you are a couple and you're both charged with a crime and you both end up on probation, this restriction is waived, of course. You can still live with your partner and talk to your wife over the telephone and find out what's for dinner tonight and et cetera, and whatever couples normally do. This is not the case with gay folks regarding the U.S. probation office. You see, this couple, they became addicted to methamphetamines. By the way, I'm going to have some guests who are experts on the gay community and methamphetamine here in the near future. I'm working on that now. The couple became addicted to methamphetamines, and by the way, get into that they actually had a home together, and they were raising Robert's niece. They raised her to adulthood. The niece, you see, was removed from her home by the Department of Human Services. So it's not like they were just, they actually were a contributed to the community. But anyway, after the niece moved out, they became addicted to methamphetamines, and they ultimately resorted to selling the drugs to support their addiction. And the methamphetamines are a huge problem in the gay community. They were arrested in 03. They later pled guilty to possession with the intent to sell, and they each received a sentence of imprisonment followed by 5 years of probation. Now, they explained after they were released, both Robert and his partner, explained to the probation officer that they were in a long-term committed relationship. They owned a home together, and that they couldn't stay apart, that they had a 20-year relationship. And the probation officer informed them that that same-sex relationships are not the same as a family. And that they'd have to stay away from each other or go back to prison with a violation of probation. Well, the ACLU appealed the decision for them, and issued a decision regarding it just very recently. And it was in the Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit. And The judge ruled that apparently, you know, it was obvious. He said that these folks are committed to one another. He was very impressed with their recovery from being addicted to crystal meth. They're both doing very well, and they are not on it again. They didn't fall back into it. And the judge was very clear that it meant a lot to them in terms of their recovery to be able to at least have each other to hang on to. And the judge basically told the U.S. Probation Office to bite it. You know, this is he quoted the Lawrence versus Texas decision. If you recall, that was when the police burst into the couple's bedroom and charged them with sodomy. And by the way, sodomy has so many different meanings. It can mean, I no sense in going to a list of sex acts. We'll head back to the toilet again. But it's funny how the word sodomy can be used to describe so many different things. But anyway, I'm just wandering around just following the chickens tonight. You just never know what direction I'm going to go in. Oh, Lord, I'm so glad I'm not a listener. To try to follow me has got to be... Oh, bad at you and not me. Anyway, said that they, yes, in fact, will be able to live together, and yes, that condition of probation will be lifted for them like it is with heterosexual couples. The ACLU is saying this is truly a great day for our clients, and they haven't had any contact with one another for over a year. And this is in Pennsylvania again, and he says the court honored their commitment to each other, and their ACLU is saying that this is a groundbreaking decision for requiring equal treatment for same-sex couples, even under probation. Do you see how much easier it would be if they just allowed us to get married? All these wasting the court's time, wasting probation officers' time. It's just ridiculous, the lengths that they go to I saw that, Bob. reading in the chat room. Hugs to you. And let's see. We've got a few minutes coming up here before news, and we've got room to fit in a couple more little things here. Not that one. That's just too tragic. Not going to do that one. No, not going to do that one. And let's do this one. This is of interest. Gays and lesbians in Broward County. You know, we just talked last night to our fellow Kevin Beckner, who is running for District 6 in Broward County. And there's a huge thing going on down in Broward County regarding the county commission, which is what he's running for. And you see, what's happening is back in, let's see, when was it? I'm trying to locate the year. Oh, several years back. The county commission, granted equal rights to GLB, or gays and lesbians. Actually, they did not extend those rights to the transgendered community. And now they're trying to add transgendered to, because transgendered folks have no rights whatsoever, not even to go to the restroom, apparently, we found out last night. And so anyway, there's a huge division in the gay community. Whether that's because the fundies are out there trying to, add the marriage amendment to the Florida Constitution, the Florida laws, the statutes, man and a woman bid, and of course the right wing will want to use this as a wedge issue that transgendered people are now going to be included in how it's growing and how our rights are being taken away from us as Christians. But County Commissioner Ken Kuechel, I've met Ken. He's a great guy. I've met him and his partner. They were in Tallahassee on some business. Is saying that discrimination is always wrong, and he says he's supporting moving ahead with the measure now. Other people are saying that they want to wait until next year to do it because that will give the transgender community time to rally themselves to fight against the fundies, which will no doubt come closet over this stuff. He goes into a lot of information about political tactics, but basically, having gone through this, I decided, I've met Ken and I trust him. He's a great guy, and he's for it. And in this same description here, we find out the log cabin Republicans are against it. No, they don't want the transgender included because it might affect the rights that they currently have. So, Republicans or Kuchel? I think I'll go with Kuchel. Top of the hour, we'll see you on the other side of the news.
This is the Quality News Network. At about 6:05 Central Time this evening, a major bridge, the 35W, spanning the Mississippi River and a frontage road along with train tracks in Minneapolis, has collapsed. The multi-lane bridge fell in the middle, then broke in sections with hardly moving gridlock bumper-to-bumper commuter traffic crossing it. There are people and vehicles in the river. Cyclists and pedestrians are among the victims that have fallen and are tangled in the water beneath the wreckage of twisted concrete and steel. Survivors are being carried up the riverbank. It's not yet known what caused the failure. Many witnesses described a rumbling prior to the collapse. One section of the bridge that did not fall is being cleared as emergency personnel expect it to fall. All firefighters in Minneapolis have been called to their stations. Hospitals have set up triage stations. An orange alert has been declared, requiring all medical staff to report. Every ambulance in Minneapolis-St. Paul has been called to the scene. Brief yet severe thunderstorms are now forecast in the area, hampering rescue efforts. A nearby lock is being closed to reduce the river's turbulent flow. Some of the victims fell 40 to 50 feet to land on the sidewalk below. Others landed in the river. Some of the vehicles still on the bridge are on fire. A school bus was among the vehicles. All the children got out and off the bridge safely. A witness said there was shaking and then it collapsed. The region is not prone to earthquakes. Another large bridge not far from this one is still standing. Three people are now confirmed dead. 20 to 30 people are reported injured. Across the world, a military operation is underway to rescue the 21 South Korean church workers from the grip of their Taliban kidnappers. A German engineer captured elsewhere in Afghanistan by the Taliban pleaded for his life on television yesterday. The largest peacekeeping effort in the world history will take place soon. Thousands of UN peacekeepers are on their way to Darfur later this year. Three-star retired Lieutenant General Philip Kinzinger has been censured by the Pentagon for mishandling the friendly fire death of Army Ranger Pat Tillman. Saudi Arabia is thinking of opening an embassy in Baghdad. The White House announced pleasure with the new embassy plan, saying they'd add legitimacy to Prime Minister al-Maliki's government. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business are next.
Are you one of so many people who wish they could wake up in the morning and look at the clock without fumbling for glasses first? I've got news for you. Your wish can come true. Most cases of nearsightedness, farsightedness, and astigmatism can be corrected by the laser procedure known as LASIK. Now, is this procedure without risk or guaranteed? No, but complications are extremely rare, and the outcomes are almost always positive. And if your results aren't exactly as expected, you can be retreated in most cases for no additional cost. You should be realistic about your expectations, though, especially if you're over 40, because unless you have what's called monovision, you will still need your glasses for reading. See your eye doctor about LASIK. I'm Dr. Nancy Eklund.
The preceding message on eye care by Dr. Nancy Eklund has been brought to you as a public service by the Quality News Network. For more information, please contact your eye doctor.
An experimental treatment with a brain pacemaker has revived a severely brain-damaged man to the point that he can talk and interact with his family. After 6 years in a near-vegetative state, electrodes were used for deep brain stimulation. Researchers say a vaccine for TB is showing promise in animal trials. Human trials could start in 2 to 3 years. A new island is being born in the Caribbean, prompting chart makers to go back to the drawing board and boaters to keep a keen eye out for a sudden obstacle. The new landmass, about 5 miles north of Trinidad, is being created by an underwater fissure. Detroit's big three automakers, GM, Ford, and Chrysler, turned in a combined 19% drop in sales versus July of 06. That left them with only 48.1% of U.S. market share, even though Asian automakers grabbed 44.6% of the American pie. Their numbers were still off by 12.3%. The June housing market numbers are in, and they show an overall 5% jump in home sales. Out west, the increase is the strongest, with a gain of 8.6%, while the eastern U.S. had a 3.1% rise in June. American Home Mortgage is close to insolvency after the companies that lend them money cut off financing, leaving the company unable to fund close to $1 billion in home loans. The market bounced back this afternoon with the Dow finishing up 151 points at 13,362. The NASDAQ was up 8. Oil is trading at $76.53 a barrel. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Michael Coleman.
And he's back, riding across America on a horse named Strictly Confidential, a man who knows his way around a pair of chaps. Here's your host, Peter Godbold.
And welcome to the second hour of Strictly Confidential. I am your host, Peter Godbold, streaming from a wooded rural location in North Florida. The telephone number is 1-877, the number 4, head on. That's 877, the number 4, head on. Or if you have a long-distance calling plan, you can save the studio nickel by using 304-658-3333, and that rings in West Virginia. Email arrives to Peter at headonradionetwork.com. I'm so pleased to have you with me this evening. It is always an honor be a part of your evening. In fact, all of the hosts on the network feel that way. We're actually your guests, and when you call us, we're your guests. We are here because we feel it's important to be here, not to earn brownie points. We've got all the brownie points we need. Thank you very much. No more brownie points. We just love you guys. Speaking of love, was that tragic story last night regarding the Baptist minister in Tennessee who was charged with wearing a skirt and drinking and urinating in front of a bunch of children and being arrested and offering to have car wash sex with an officer, and the story just went on and on. It was just an amazing thing. I'm not sure if Bob talked about it earlier on his show. I wasn't able to listen to a lot of it. I was running late on pulling things together. In case Bob didn't mention this, there was also reports of today. Well, of course, we knew there was liquor involved. There were open bottles of vodka in his car. There were also empty oxycodone prescription bottle. What is it about these right wingers and oxycodone? The what we call hillbilly heroin sometimes, even though that's not particularly the best word to use for it. The Rush Limbaugh drug of choice. Boy, I bet he was flying higher than a kite. Oxycodone and a bottle of vodka. No wonder he was standing outside with his skirt hiked up. Oh, his nice patent leather shoes. Peeing at a car wash in front of a bunch of children. Oh, my stars. Amazing. Anyway, they arrested him, and he was part of an AM radio station called WZAP. And by the way, WZAP is asking for prayer. They are saying that that he has been relieved of his responsibilities at the station until the facts are determined. I think we have more facts than we could possibly handle for a long, long time. You just keep the rest of the facts to yourself. They're hoping that it can be quickly resolved. You know, in addition to him being the minister of a Baptist church, he worked at this radio station. And in looking through, you know, he really should have made himself. He really should have taken advantage of one of their hosts. I mean, one of the shows that runs on that network is from the Antioch Baptist Church, and they have a wonderful addiction program. I looked at their site today. It reads to the effect of, you can't break free from addiction. Do you suffer from addiction? You shall know the truth, and it will set you free. It's too bad that our reverend there didn't listen to some of the folks on his own station. And if you'd like to call the station, it's 540-669-6950. I understand now from production chat that Bob called this evening. I wish I'd heard that. That had to be priceless.
they're probably not answering the phone anymore after Bob called. But anyway, that's 540-669-6950. When they pick up the phone, say, "I'm not Bob." The first words that come out of your mouth, "I'm not Bob, not Bob." And they may talk to you. And by the way, there was no stream that I could locate. I was hoping to get some audio clips from those folks today. So there we have a Baptist with his skirt hiked up and a bottle of oxycodone. Glory, hallelujah. I know he was feeling the Spirit that day. Speaking of feeling the Spirit, I am so tired of being called a sodomite. It is absolutely ridiculous. They're now using the phrase sodomite agenda. This is the Wingnut Daily doing that, and the rest of their motley crew. But there's six things I want to tell you. Just for the record, just so that you completely understand this, they're getting this from Genesis. Genesis 19 never mentions homosexuals and Sodom as we understand the term today. Genesis 19, that's point one. Point two, Genesis 19 never mentions a homosexual act being committed in Sodom, that's point two. Point three, Scripture never mentions a same-sex relationship in Sodom, point three. There, Scripture tells us, that never tells us that the inhabitants of Sodom were homosexuals, that's one, two, three, four, point four. Point five is that Scripture never tells us that God destroyed Sodom because of homosexuality. And point six, Sodom in Scripture never refers to homosexuals as we use the word today. Every time a sodomite is used in Scripture, it refers to a cult, a shrine, temple prostitutes who worshipped the Canaanite fertility. And just so that you'll have it straight from the gay guy's mouth, the word sodomy is ridiculous because it's not even about sex. Boy, the world is so screwed up, and so this is now the sodomite agenda. As I've said, I hesitate to say anymore that, as they become less relevant, increasingly irrelevant, they become more vicious. I'm hesitant to use that. One of our guests explained to us that he expects a lot more trouble out of them. They're well-funded, And so I'm reluctant to go as far as to say that as they become relevant anymore. Boy, I like saying it while it lasted. Boy, I wish that guest had never told me that. Oh, I love saying it. As they become increasingly less relevant, blah, 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 blah. It was a great way to go from segment to segment. Oh, my stars. Speaking of churches, Ted Haggard, he was the one, he was not a downer guy. He was not an oxycodone guy. He was an upper guy. He was the crystal meth minister, who was also the executive director of the president, actually, the 30 million member National Association of Evangelicals, the fellow who was busted for having a studly gay male escort and doing crystal meth and screaming hallelujah when when the love came down, shall we say. In any case, the church has... there were 8 months, by the way. It took them 8 months to do this, of searches and interviews. They have found themselves a new pastor. And his name is Randy Boyd. He was a senior pastor at the Gateway Church in Texas. And they say that he has the same heart and vision of the church in Denver, the mega church. I believe it's the largest church in Denver. I'm not going to say. He has a 14,000-member congregation. The New Life Church. It's Colorado's largest church, actually. And they feel that he has the philosophy of the church. When is it having a pastor about the philosophy of the church? I thought it was, my will, not thy will. I thought it was supposed to be about lifting people up and about Jesus and about loving your neighbor and turning the other cheek and helping your brother when they've fallen. But no, you've got to find a pastor now, boy, that's reliable and solid and has the same philosophy, meaning hate, as a child. Oh, my God. And he'll get up there and preach about sin, glory, hallelujah. What you do is you go, Old Testament, Old Testament, Old Testament, Old Testament, Jesus. That's basically the way it works. And eventually people begin to believe that Jesus says all those things, but it's actually Old Testament, Old Testament, Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. So tired of it. Man, I'm just getting old, evil man. old evil man making fun of the pastors with their skirts hiked up. That's not a Christian thing to do. I shouldn't be making fun of the pastors who were thrown up in the air with a stud, male escort, sniffing methamphetamines, going, glory, hallelujah. No, I should not be making fun of those things. That is not a Christian thing to do. Hate the hypocrisy, not the sin. That's the way, yeah, hate the hypocrisy. Yeah, not the sin. And by the way, the the Unitarian Universalists are at their conference in Portland, Oregon, by an overwhelming number of delegates, practically a unanimous decision, just about it. They had 6,000 delegates there. It's a resolution to call on individual members to pledge themselves to work for repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. It's interesting. It's not just that we don't think you should be doing Don't Ask, Don't Tell. The resolution calls on individual members to pledge themselves to work. That means actually do something to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell. It's interesting, too, that MCC Tallahassee meets in a Unitarian church. The Unitarian church uses it in the morning. It's a beautiful building. And MCC takes it over and uses it from about 5 in the afternoon to whenever on Sunday afternoons. And that's very gracious. But they do what they intend to do in the sense of being walking the walk and talking the. They point out that the United States is the only major Western power that bars gays from serving openly in the military, and that the survey of this last May found that last May found that 79% of troops, 79% of the troops support gays serving openly in the military, and also Service Members Legal Defense Network is weighing in on this. There's a court case going on in Boston. If you remember, we had Shara Greer from Service Members Legal Defense Network on the show a while back, and she talked some of the suits that are going on right now. And we'll just not do this little break, but what we will do is something I'm going to call the track of interest. I came across this. The fellow is at Mark. I told you about at the beginning of the program. Is you can be found at markmercermusic.com. That's MERCER. markmercermusic.com. And it's an amazing song. Very, very high energy. Very, I really enjoy it. And it's called Chapel of Love, but no, it's not that Chapel of Love. It's Chapel of Love. It's not even a remake of Go Into the Chapel of Love. It is a totally new track. By Mark Mercer, and I think you're really going to enjoy it. If you would, studio, please run Chapel of Love by Mark Mercer.
Good.
amazing track. I got a huge kick out of hearing that today. And if I had not told you, that was Mark Mercer at markmercermusic.com, you would have sworn that was George Michael's, would you not? That had Wham written all over it. That could have so easily, he even sounded like George Michael. Yes, that sounded just amazingly like Wham. Good track, though. Like that track. Lots of songs regarding marriage and gay relationships. So one of our dear listeners from the chat room sent me a link to a site that features music along those lines, and we've used several of the tracks from that site over the last few days, and I'm sure we'll use some more. There are treasures there that I have never heard, and it's good to hear these alternative artists. That definitely was not on Top 40, and it definitely wasn't Rush Limbaugh's theme song. The World Net Daily is very upset, and they're very upset with the NEA. Remember, well, the Family Association, they're upset with the NEA, too. They're just... you remember the bulletin from last night, you know, forward this to everybody you know. They're trying to make our children homosexuals and send us a gift, and if you appreciate this message, and vote here to support vouchers to get our kids out of the public schools. If we send our kids to Caesar for an education, they'll come back like Caesar, meaning home the vouchers for homeschooling so that they can learn about the dinosaurs and Adam and Eve, no doubt. So anyway, WorldNet Daily is all upset today. They are concerned about a public school district board's decision to teach homosexuality as being innate. This is in Maryland, and they're going to take it to court because the Maryland officials are refusing to put up or to listen to what these fundies are screaming. Of course, the fundies are saying they're not listening to any of the parents, but of course, it just means them, because they are the only people that matter, you understand. This is curriculum that was developed in-house by the Montgomery County Board of Education. And they're saying that not only is the curriculum inaccurate, but it exposes children to life diseases by failing to warn them about alternative sexual behavior. You see, here's where the lie comes in. These are not alternative sexual behaviors. They're not alternative to anyone. You have your sexuality. That is your sexuality. You have no alternatives. I don't care if you're bi or you're straight or you're lesbian or yellow or chocolate or transgendered or anywhere in between. Doesn't much matter. Your sexuality is your sexuality. You have no alternatives. What's up with these people? I guess, see, that's the problem. See, for them, there are alternatives. See, for them, they're so closeted, they are bisexual, maybe is the best word for it. Who knows what they are, but for see, that, so they feel that because they are tempted by same-sex, by, you know, seeing a person of the same sex that they, you know, kind of think about, you know, in that way, they are so obsessed with it because they have those temptations. They assume that everyone does. They have alternatives, yes. And so, of course, it's... they have to, so they feel that everybody must be just like them. They no concept of diversity, no concept of God's rainbow or the variations in creation, except, of course, for dinosaurs. They're saying that the curriculum teaches factual inaccuracies and it runs counter to educational policies, and that parents should be alarmed by teaching sexual variations, which I just ranted about. I don't believe they exist. Do you? Do you? Call me. 877 the number 4 head on. I don't believe they exist. I think we're pretty much wired for that. If you have alternatives, I'd like to hear about them. anyway, these pro-family groups have raised objections to the material on several issues. They say that teaching that homosexuality is innate, even though that's an unproven theory. Innate is WorldNet Daily. That's code for normal or part of the plan. And they're saying that teachers are teaching anal sex is just another option. It is not an option. What is it with these people? And And they're saying that they're labeling children homophobic who hold traditional religious or moral beliefs about homosexuality. No, they're not. They're calling children homophobic who are beating the hell out of it and causing them to drop out and commit suicides at rates far above any others. Yeah, they're homophobic. They need to be called out for it. They're not holding traditional religious values unless death and persecution is a religious value. But, you know, I'm, oh, man, you guys are hearing it just like I am. Says the Law Center says its aim is to defend and promote religious freedom in churches, and so they're fighting it. This is part of what the American Family Association was talking about those religious vouchers. I sort of say religious vipers, same difference. And these Christians involved in this, so-called Christians, are stunned because there's no great outcry from the public. That's because, well, I dare use it, you're becoming increasingly irrelevant. I love to say it. Maybe I could speak it to be true. And anyway, that's they're worried about it. They're saying that the school board is a preposterous and they're being teaching children that people are born that way, and we need to wait until science proves otherwise. And well, when science proves that you were born heterosexual, then I'll worry about it. How's that grab you? Poor eighth graders and tenth graders are taught how to tell people that they're gay. If they're gay, they're taught how to make that announcement and how to break it to their family. What's wrong with that? Hell, that would have been very helpful to me. So, anyway, what can I tell you? Same day, different wing nuts. So as we come up on the break, you're listening to Strictly Confidential, toll-free at 877, the number 4, head-on. And I'm your host, Peter Godbold, streaming exclusively on the Head-On Radio Network. We'll be back in a moment.
This is the Head-On Radio Network. The Horn.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 3/4. All you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
And again, I was talking about the Republican debate. So we'll get to the point where we're going to drag a terrorist out to the stage with the Republicans, and they're all going to take turns kicking him in the nuts and see who the audience cheers for the most. That's going to determine who's going to be the Republican candidate. But that's what they are. Kick him in the nuts. How do they do that on South Park? Rochambeau. They're going to Rochambeau the terrorists.
Come on, rub my nipples while I torture this little piggy. Now that sounds pretty sweet to me.
The Cup of Joe radio show with your host, the working man's thinking man, Joe Vecchio. 11 a.m. to noon weekdays here on the Head-On Radio Network, America's liberal voice.
And I'm John.
And we're from Fierce, a community organization for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer questioning youth of color in New York City.
For many years, the Christian Fellowship here has been a place for our community, a space where we can all go and be ourselves.
A space where healthcare providers can come and provide free HIV testing and information to other services.
However, these services and safe space are being threatened.
To become a member of Fierce and help keep our Christopher Pierce safe for queer and trans people, contact us at 646-336-6789 or visit our website at fiercenyc.org.
In
we are back from break. That remix is from Glenn Rivero of Devil's Gun. I knew the moment I heard that I was going to have to use that on the show. Glenn does a wonderful remix of that. And that's exactly where we are in the eye of the Devil's Gun. The you heard as we left the break there, that was from Fierce. We had a guest from Fierce on earlier, well, it was last month. Her name was Glo Ross. It was an amazing interview. If you perhaps missed that, I recommend you go by a place called fierce.org. That's FIERCE.org. And if you'd like to hear the interview with Glo, you can go to strictlyconfidentialradio.com and you'll find a shortcut there to the archive for that program, which is generously hosted by the White Rose Society. You'll find links there also to White Rose Society. But that was a powerful interview. I'm nervous about going to that interview going into it, because these were young folks. These were young urban folks. About as different from me as night and day. I'm in my 50s and I grew up in the rural South. These kids were in their 20s and they were from New Jersey and the West Village, and talking about subways and people throwing boiling oil on them out of their apartment windows. Here I've only got trees that fall. I don't have the excitement that they do. But it turned out to be a wonderful interview. I was telling the studio, I was talking to Agnes or Bob, I remember which. I consider them interchangeable. They're both dear friends. It's either Agnes or Bob. I'm talking to one of them. But I was saying, oh my God, what have I done? I've got this interview coming in tonight. These kids are young and they're urban. I don't know what I'm going to say to them. They're going to think I'm some kind of hick. Anyway, it turned out to be one of our better interviews. And if we have any of our Fierce folks listening this evening, we'd love to have some of you back. That was a great evening, and thank you for that. The Democrats are really upsetting the Republicans in Congress. You know, they're trying to run through another one of their judges. This Mississippi judge. Trying to get that Mississippi judge in there. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, he's going to move to kill it. But the Republicans are all trying to up or down vote. Only an up or down vote will do. No more of Bush's freaking judges. These people are low life. Oh God! Oh no! Let me go there. This article puts it politely: Democrats have concerns about Southwick's writings in several cases. Yeah, concerns. Let me give you some of the concerns. He had a decision in '98 over an employee had been fired for using racial slurs, and he ruled that it's not a slur, and that it was not motivated out of racial hatred or animosity, and directed, even though it was directed toward a coworker, it wasn't directed toward blacks in general. It was specific. Blah 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 blah. Anyway, he ruled against the employer who was fired for using racial slurs at work. He made a decision to take an 8-year-old girl away from her mother and award the little girl to the custody of her father. The father, who, by the way, had never married the mother. He took the child away from the mother because the mother was living with another woman in a, quote, lesbian home. Oh, my goodness. Oh, lesbians. We know how those lesbians are on this program. We just never know what those lesbians are going to do next. Gotta love him. And he also ruled that that under the principles of federalism, whatever the hell that is, something left over from when dinosaurs stalked the earth, no doubt, that homosexual persons could be treated as second-class citizens. Yes, my friends, this is under the principles of federalism. Second-class citizens, and he suggested that sexual orientation is a choice, and he said that... he suggested that the mother might have held on to her child if she had made a different choice. Oh, these go on and on. And so the Republicans are all screaming, up or down vote. You can't do that. This is America. We want that Mississippi judge making the Mississippi decisions. God, this country is, it's going to take 30. I'll be dead and buried before this mess is even partly fixed. If it's repairable, who knows? I don't know. Do you know? Do you think we'll ever pull out of this? Are we at the decline of our empire? The Romans thought that they had the last empire too. Whose show did I hear that on? I heard it on somebody's show. It was a wonderful ad. I remembered it. I'm stealing from somebody's show. I don't know whose it was. But, yeah, they thought they were the last great empire, too. And all they've got now is the baths and the legends and those wonderful statues, of course. And don't know what's going to be left of America. I guess the steeples and the rich. I don't know. Do you think we can recover? I don't know. If we do, it'll be well past the time that I'm able to enjoy it. But I can sure as hell make a lot of noise now, and that's what I'm going to do. Dangerous man. I'm a homosexual with a microphone. It's pretty too. It's kind of gold colored. Yes. Had to get a festive one. They didn't have a pink one. Had to get a gold one. The Quebec Human Rights Commission has awarded a Pointe Claire gay couple damages of $10,000 after it found that the couple had been victims of hate-motivated acts by a neighborhood youth. This youth threw firebombs at their house as he drove past. He pulled up in their driveway behind them. They're trying to get out of their car and honking the horn at them and telling them to roll down. He's going to wreck their car and he's going to beat their faces in, etc. Now, these are older gay folks. They're a retired couple. They're just trying to enjoy their retirement in peace. They've lived in that home for 30 years. It's not like they just moved in. And see the neighbors that just moved in, and they're not going to put up with this retired gay couple next door. Oh, no, 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 no. There's a problem with the father, too. The family is saying that they don't like the couple's lifestyle and think they're arrogant. And they're also very upset that the couple has made this a public story. See, that's what they love so. That's what's so important to them. As long as it is AC, as long as your mouth quiet, they like it fine. But boy, you start talking about being treated badly by some of these homophobic people. That's what really bothered him, that they've made the story so public. How dare them tell? You can't tell. Not supposed to tell. That's a bad thing. And anyway, they're standing their ground. They want to enjoy their retirement in peace. And they're also bringing charges against another neighbor who's, surprise, surprise, friends with the neighbors, the next door neighbor who's causing all the problems, who is now beginning to cause problems for the couple. You know, God bless trying to live quietly in a... Oh, Jesus, what's wrong with the world? Tonight, I've been uploading the area fascia track for about 5 days at the studio, and for about 5 days we have not gotten through it. And it is a request. So I am definitely running it tonight, and I apologize to the person. Well, actually, the three people who requested it. This was the track I was telling you about earlier that we used one time. Count them, just one time as a bumper between my whatever I was ranting about in a break. We used like 30 seconds of it. I got three emails saying, I haven't heard that song in forever, please, Mike. And I'm like, sure, I'll do that. So now 5 days have gone by. I'm sorry I haven't been able to fit in. The track is the Almighty remix, and it runs probably 8, 9, maybe 10 minutes. I don't have the timing in front of me. But it ran long enough that with our wonderful guests, there's no way I was going to terminate any of our guests early to fit this in, because this is a recording. We can do this anytime. And our guests have been so gracious to us and told us so many things that we did not know. But tonight, my friends, is the night. And Bob's telling me it's 7 minutes in length. Okay, then it'll all fit in nicely. I thought it was longer than that. But I'm old, you know. Numbers blur. The changes, I can tell you. Anyway, this is by the woman herself, Aria Fashion, and it is the call Saving Myself. It was a huge gay club dance hit. And one of my favorites. So we will run it. Saving Myself, Aria Fashion. That's Area Fashion with the remix of Saving Myself. What a huge club hit that was back in the day. I listen to music like that, and I think about what a privilege it is to be with you folks. It's really an amazing thing to be able to speak to so many people and share so many things. It's you are appreciated. You are most appreciated. Again, the number is 877, the number 4, head on, or 304-658-3333. That rings in West Virginia. The 877-4, the number 4, head on, is toll free. And thank you for joining us this evening. I'm your host, Peter Godboldy, Service Members Legal Defense Network. That, if you recall, was Shara Greer. Shara Greer was on our show. Our show, me and Doggy's show. She stopped by and visited, by the way, gave me a smile during the break. She could tell I'm dancing. She knows that she sees me dancing. Well, you know, it's spiritual dancing. During the last track, she knows that's a good opportunity to stop by and say hello. Anyway, Shara was with us. She was a remarkable guest, and she's one of the leading experts on country's leading experts on the Don't Ask, Don't Tell. She has made some remarks about Admiral Mullen's recent statement. Admiral Mullen's doing an about-face on the Peter Pace thing. If you remember, Peter Pace was saying that referred to gay sex as being immoral. And anyway, Mullen's is pretty much just saying that he's going to implement the policy to dismiss gay soldiers as long as the House and the Senate, and until the law is changed, that he will do what the law says. But he says he thinks it's time for the American people to come forward and talk about this. I think probably one of the main problems is do you realize how many felons we are putting, how many people with long criminal histories we're putting in the military because we're waiving all standards? People with long-standing drug addictions, people who are still on probation, people who have been in and out of the prison system, they're putting them in the military because there's not enough people there're not enough volunteers. You know, George Bush is grinding people up like hamburger, so it requires a constant supply of young folks. And the figure I saw was 8,000 people with criminal histories have been put into the military, but whereas 11,000 people who were kicked out of the military on GL because they're under Don't Ask, Don't Tell. One of the Army representatives told CBS, said, "We've always been an Army that's been known to give patriotic citizens second and third chances." That's what they're saying about the felons. Second and third chances. Yeah, that sounds good. Yeah, unless you're gay. Then you only get one chance, and you're out of here. So these 8,000 recruits were given moral waivers. That's what they called them. It's a piece of paper. It's a moral waiver. We'll waiver the fact that you beat the hell out of your granny and stole her money and went out and bought some crack with it. Yeah, that's all. We will waive that. That's just a moral indiscretion. But you queers and you lesbians, y'all got to go. Nearly 800 of these 11,000 GLBT individuals had mission-critical skills, including more than 300 with language training, of which we are missing very badly in our military at this point in time. The fellow Michael Mullins is saying we need to start talking about this. We need to make some new decisions in the Congress about with respect to repealing the ban. We are the only country in the Western world, at least one of the only ones, that still bans GLBT folks from the military. And you may not think that that's important, against the war, against the military, and certainly I have those feelings too. The war is illegal and immoral in my estimation. But we have to realize that never in the history of this world has there been a society that has granted rights to a group prior to them being able to serve in the military. Can't tell you why, but that's really the way it works. Once you're allowed to serve openly in the military, then things start changing everywhere. It just goes in that order. I couldn't tell you why. It's one of the reasons this Don't Ask, Don't Tell is so important, that we get this turned around. And with a huge number of military people and society, the only people that are approving it, you know, 79% is the last I heard, the only people that can turn this around is the lies of the Christian right and their constant, you know, forward this to all your friends, this constant misrepresentation. And they know they're lying. At least the ones at the top do. The little minions who, you know, can barely walk and chew gum at the same time, they don't know they're lying. They think it's all true. Because Rush said it, and I listen to Christian radio, so it's got to be true. But the people at the top, they know they're lying. It's all about power. It's all about money. Cha-ching. It's all about those ex-gays filling the coffers at $50,000, $60,000 a pop. Only to come out more screwed up than they ever went in. Of course, they go in screwed up. You'd be screwed up, too, if you had to grow up in this society. Lord have mercy. Why? Tell me why. Why does this happen? Going on in China, too, actually in Hong Kong. 22-year-old man was sentenced to jail for killing a gay man that he claimed made a pass at him. Jesus, good Lord, what happened to just say no? I don't swing that way. No, thank you. Why is it you have to kill everyone? You know, and these deaths are never just, you know, bang, you're dead. It's always slice off your throat and you know, beat your chest in with a crowbar and set you on fire. You know, it's always it's annihilation death. It's MGM death. It's apocalypse now death. It's full blown war, military action against GLB just for asking. He was found battered to death with a bag on his head by one of his employees. Hong Kong folks are saying it was brutal. He tried to destroy the evidence, and he fled to China, but they got him, thank goodness. And in the duh department, a new study suggests that gays and lesbian voters vote as a bloc. Well, duh. Except for the fact, except for, of course, the log cabin Republicans, and God knows what they do behind their closed doors with their dirty magazines under the bed and their fingers on the remote control watching Fox News and they're chanting, we can change the Republican Party. They love us. They're fiscally conservative, and we don't believe in spending extra money. So we're gay, and we're going to change the Republican Party because we're fiscal conservatives. These people are so delusional. And it's just like the rest of the world, you know. All thinking people, no thinking person, you know, votes for the party of the Klan. You know, thinking people vote in a block too. Except the ones who don't really think that well, and they end up voting, ooh, do I dare say it, libertarian. Oh, no, I'm so going to get hate mail. I don't know how Bob deals with his. I haven't gotten any yet. Send it on, brothers. I have a piece of hate mail to my name. I don't think y'all love me. Bob gets all the hate mail. I wish he would forward me some. Oh, Lord, what a night. I want to thank Ben Birch. I haven't mentioned him, but Ben Birch is the reason this network exists in many, many ways. He's the, as Bob says, the hardest working man in liberal radio. He provides the streaming services from the network. He provides the archives, and he supports us in so many, many ways. And I want to thank both Agnes and Bob for staying up and producing this show. Somebody's got to sit at the studio and play these dance tracks, and they're sitting up playing this stuff while I just dance, and Doggy says hello. You are very much appreciated. And thank you so much to all the listeners. Be sure to stop by strictlyconfidentialradio.com. You'll just never know what you're going to find there, because I never know what I'm going to put.